So here we go. Let's begin. How to be a good leader, the leadership qualities that we'll be talking about today. And of course, with me, Joe Reynolds. And well, let's have a little think. What kind of qualities do you think? And in fact, this was a part of the homework of the last class, and it was the last question, wasn't it? What kind of qualities do you think of when you think of a leader? Passionate, confident, projection, and sincere, and energetic, and funny, and all those different qualities. There's probably hundreds, but I want to talk today, kind of, well, maybe the top 10 or so. Yeah, let's start with just a quick summary of what's going to be covered in class today. We'll be talking about, well, first of all, honesty, integrity. It's up there on the top of the list for a reason. We'll get to that. A sense of justice, self-control, cooperation, very important, right? Sympathy and understanding, responsibility, and charismatic personality, as well as mastery and decisive and prudency, the needs to exceed, go above and beyond. That's just the top 10 that we're going to be thinking about today. But, well, there are many more qualities of a good leader. And well, I'm curious, how many can you think We'll probably get to a few more in the next class, but for now, let's start with the top 10, shall we? So, well, the first on the list, here we go, is integrity, trust, honesty. It takes years to build up trust, right? And only seconds to destroy it. It's a really, really, really difficult thing to earn and so easy to destroy. But it's something so many leaders have a hard time with, this integrity, this trust, to be honest. In fact, I could easily say, oh, more than half the presidents and different royalties and politicians, they have a real hard time with this one, because they'll say one thing and then generally just go do another. And that's why so many people dislike them by sometimes the end of their reign or their term, right? But it truly is essential for leaders to act with authenticity, that honesty, that integrity, and well, the reliability that they could be relied on to be honest, that can be relied on to be trustworthy and integral. Leadership trust creates a really stable foundation for the employees or for the group, the team members, right? And their organization to be adaptable and flexible and thrive in times of continuous change, because obviously the world's always changing, the business is always changing, the world around. I mean, just look at 2020. Talk about a world change in a year or a month or a week even. Wow, that was intense, wasn't it? I'm sure you all remember. But the behaviors that build trust are the very behaviors that manage change. Bear with me, it'll make sense. But just remember this, trust is the glue of life. It is the most essential ingredient for effective communication. And in fact, it's the foundation principle of all relationships of any kind. Think about it. I mean, can you have a relationship with your friend if you don't believe what they are telling you, if they lie to you a lot or if they lie to you at all? And a grown-up trust you. If you go to the restaurant and the waiter comes up and says, "What would you like to eat?" Can you trust that waiter to get what you want to eat? Because if you don't, what's the point? If you don't trust your best friend, how would that friendship last? If you can't be trusted, if it truly is the very foundation. I mean, if this was a building of qualities of a human being, right? And there's courage and all these leadership skills that go into it, right? This building. All of that building is built on a foundation, the very brick or the very slab of cement at the bottom that makes it all stable. That's trust. That's honesty. That's integrity. That's the base. Without it, none of the other stuff matters. If I don't trust you, if I don't believe you, nothing else matters. I don't care how good you are at all the other skills and all the other qualities. It doesn't make any difference to me. I can't trust you. So this is why, in my opinion, I put it right at the top of the list of the number one attributes and quality that a leader, and in fact, in my opinion, any human being requires to have this for them to fit in and work or be a part of a team or a group of any kind or a friend to anyone, right? So here's the thing. No intelligent person will follow a leader who can't be trusted. Simple. Of course, there's a lot of unintelligent people out there, right? That the sheep of the world that don't want to learn anything and they just want to follow all of us leaders. That's fine. That's their choice. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of intelligent people who don't want to be leaders, and well, they are going to only choose a leader they can trust, someone that they do honestly believe will get them to where they want to go. That when you say, hey, we need to go this way now, that they'll trust you to do it and, follow you there because they know you've always been honest and truthful to that moment. Why would that change? You haven't given them a reason not to. So, like I said, it really is the foundation. You can be creative, you can be collaborative, you can be respected, you can be yourself, you can be this positive, amazing individual and leader, but really, really without that trust base, none of that matters. In fact, without trust, you have nothing. Trust is so important to me. And that's really what it comes down to, right? So don't forget, it takes years to build up trust and only seconds to destroy it, literally seconds. And it could take years again to rebuild. I remember the first time I ever lied, hands up, I was to my mum. I must have been about 10 or 11, and she busted me playing some video games past my bedtime, and I lied about it. And you know what? I'm 40 years old now, and I still regret that. She didn't trust me for like 6 months after that, and she knew the answer to the question she was asking me. She knew I was lying. She just wanted to kind of test, and unfortunately, I failed that day. I'll never fail that one again. I tell you, took a long time to rebuild that. And if I could go back in time, it's one of the few things in my life I would probably go and change. But remember, without it, nothing else matters. So, what other qualities should we be thinking about? Well, here's a little hint. We got Superman and Batman down there. You know what are they fighting for? Justice, right? The sense of justice. Does justice equals fairness? If you're fair and you're just, then the team will have the sense of the fact that their leader is just and fair, that they don't have to worry about you going down the wrong path or the wrong avenue to maybe something that isn't fair or isn't just, that they will be treated equal, that they'll be treated correct. Some of those people will go, you know what, if you're not fair, if you're not just, I really don't respect you because I don't believe in what it is your goals are. If they're not fair and they're not just for everyone, then a lot of people won't get on board. They won't respect you. Especially if you're fair sometimes here and you're not fair to others, doesn't work. It's got all or nothing, right? There's no middle ground. You can't sit on the fence on this one. So yeah, a sense of justice. Think Batman and Robin, think Superman and all his friends, right? All those superheroes are all fighting for justice, for the fair, for the underdogs that keep getting trodden on, right? Okay. Next one. This one's all about control, and not just any kind of control. It is self-control, controlling yourself, having a sense of balance, having a sense of calmness when you're leading, being determined, controlling how much energy you put in, the willpower that you have, and very much the confidence. Can you control all of these things? But it's not just these. There's so many more. And well, at the end of the day, self-control, the ability to control your own behavior, especially your reactions and your impulses, show willpower, discipline, and restraint. Your team will go, wow, look, That's someone who's looking after themselves. They could probably look after us. But if your leader can't look after themselves, if they have no control over themselves, do you honestly think they're going to have any control over anyone else, let alone a group of people or a giant group of people, like a nation or a country or, you know, an army or something? No way. That's why when you think of maybe a sergeant or some military or policeman, their self-control is incredibly high, because that is such an important trait to have for those kind of leaders, right? Now, a good leader will exhibit self-control, but one cannot control others without first being in control of yourself. Like I mentioned, if your leader's not controlling themselves, how are they going to control anyone else? So people will emulate, they'll copy their leaders who practice self-control. They'll control their emotions, they'll practice self-control, they'll control their own behavior, they'll control their desires to go do other things. All of these things can be put into check if your leader is showing that they do it too, right? Being able to take control of yourself first. Make your own self-improvements before you try and improve anyone or everyone else. Otherwise, no one's going to believe that you can do it because you haven't done it yourself, right? So, self-control, that's definitely on the list. Next one, pros and cons, talking to someone else, talking to the group, helping someone out. Anyone guess? Of course, it's cooperation and teamwork. And cooperation equals teamwork and collaboration. This means that a good leader has the ability to understand and apply this method and principle of being cooperative to help, not fight, but actually work together and collaborate and be a team. And at the same time, influence the followers so that they do the same. They also become team members, that they also collaborate and help each other. Now, leadership does require power, right? But power requires cooperation. No one can be powerful if the followers don't cooperate and want to be a part of that team. If you don't have any team members, you're not a leader, right? And that's what it comes down to. You need a team that you can trust, and they can trust you. And when you have that team and you cooperate all together and you work towards a common goal, you have the ability to literally change the world. In fact, in the last lesson, we talked about how JF Kennedy, remember, says, you know, we're going to go do the hard things. We're going to send a man to the moon. And they did. Well, it was years later. But if you guys haven't heard of it, the International Space Station was one of the most beautiful projects mankind have ever worked on, because it showed that all the countries in the world, all these huge superpowers, all these, you know, big players and, you know, people and groups and countries that all think they're usually the best, which is fair if, you know, being patriotic is good. But actually, the International Space Station was probably one of the first huge projects that the world and all the countries that could participated in and now share the glory of. I think it's a beautiful thing. It's an amazing thing. And it goes to show that mankind can work together, and that we don't have to always fight over our borders and silly things, right? That actually being a team is way more powerful, being way, way better than any individual will ever be. And in fact, I found this great, great little clip here. I have to show it to you because it was really relevant on this topic.
Done. Move it. Hey, you there, pick up the pace. You're falling behind. Come on, let's go. Everyone, pull together. You've got us the rest to our hands.
You
좋아! 노래 또 나! 헤어! 윈퍼! 오케이, 피벗 알아!
So, if you've ever asked yourself how many minions does it take to change a light bulb, the answer is exactly 7. Okay, but it's a group, it's a team effort, right? It's that was the point of the video, and that's what I wanted to kind of get across in that little entertaining little clip. I hope you got it, but teamwork truly is the way huge things happen in the world, because no one person can ever make that kind of change without a huge, awesome team behind them. I take a lot of pride in my team and how they look after me as much as I hope I look after them, and how we're almost like family, and be it my actual team family, be it my business family, be it my all the different types of family I have. You understand my friendships, but they're all like little families. The things I care about, my team. So, okay, so when you have a team and you are a leader, then you're going to have this sense of, well, responsibility. Responsibility is a beautiful thing. It's a thing that allows, well, you to grow and get more control. And the more control and responsibility you have, the more power you have, the more power you have, the more responsibility you have. You understand? It's a circular thing. Responsibility equals you're dependable. And you're accountable, that you can be trusted to do it and do it right, that you take it in your own hands to be accountable for achieving that. So good leaders must be not only accountable for, well, their own actions and everyone else's, but they're accountable for the bigger picture. But there's so many leaders that are unwilling to take responsibility, especially when things go wrong, right? And good leaders, well, they're willing to assume full responsibility of their mistakes, and not just their own mistakes, but when their followers make mistakes, their team makes the mistakes, it is the leader that is responsible. And by understanding that, you then will realize, okay, we'll talk about making mistakes here in a little bit. It's an important quality that as well, but we'll come to that, okay? But there's so many leaders that when something goes wrong, it is everyone else's fault. They are not responsible. That was their fault, and they did this, and they did this, and they did that. Well, who's in charge of that? The buck stops with you. If they're doing it wrong, it's because you didn't train them well enough. If they're not doing it on time, it's because you didn't give them enough resources. If they didn't achieve the quality that someone expected, well, that's because you did not make them learn where the quality standard was and how to check and exceed it. That's all the leader's fault, not theirs. But if the leader can't even take responsibility for their own actions, like, you know, showing up on time or being responsible for making sure everything's in the right place at the right time, making sure the contracts are signed, making sure everything is orchestrated. If they're not responsible, they're not going to do anything to help the group, because you can't trust them to be accountable and responsible. It's you're going to fail before you even begin. So you understand accountability. Well, this is the duty to ensure a task is completed. I'm accountable for this task. I will make sure it is done. If something happens to the group, I will make sure, no matter what, I will finish it myself. I will be accountable with or without everyone else. And this is assigned just to one person. That accountability. You can't make a whole group accountable for something, because if a few of them drop out from illness or pressure or whatever, you understand that's not fair, and the group will fail and it become another ghost of the system, right? It doesn't work. So that's why the leader has to take charge of that accountability. It's assigned to just that one person. And it's very much results focused. It's I am accountable. I will make it to this standard at this result and this quality and to make that goal happen. Yeah. Where, you know, it's the result, the final outcome. And this cannot be delegated. You can't pass this on to someone else. You can't go, oh, I'm not feeling up for it today. You're accountable now, number two or number 10 or number 20, right? No. When you take on responsibility of being accountable, being the one to make sure that if it doesn't fail, it's your fault. Doesn't matter who or why. If it fails that goal, it is that one person, the leader's fault. That is accountability. Now, responsibility is slightly the same, slightly different in that it's the obligation to complete a task. You feel responsible. You feel obligated to reach that goal. You understand? It is. But at the end of the day, responsibility can be shared by the team. Everyone can feel obligated to complete the task. Everyone should feel responsible. Everyone should feel that equal pressure, right? And reward at the same time. And responsibility is very much task focused. It's not about the result. It's about you're responsible for your task. You're responsible for yours and your response. So you're climbing Mount Everest. Okay. So you're responsible for the equipment. You're the responsible for the food. You're responsible for the tents. You're responsible for, you understand? Everyone's got their own bit. Which is why it can be delegated. Responsibility can be passed on to different members of your team, and you can delegate that. Not like accountability. That buck stops with you. So successful people, well, they take responsibility for their own actions and for their own failures. Unsuccessful people blame everyone else for everything. Remember that. Next time something bad happens, was it someone else's fault, or are you going to be an accountable leader? You're going to be truly responsible. Because once you've proven that to your team, that, you know, when it doesn't always work and things go wrong and you step up and you fix the problem, because even though it was someone else's fault, you took responsibility because you were accountable, that shows the team that, wow, even on a hard day and a bad day, our team leader has got our back. Even if one of us fails, we know the group won't, because our leader's got our back. It's always going to make sure we get there. That's why successful leaders are not only responsible, but they are completely accountable. And take that seriously. Okay, top tip. If you're not really good at something, what do? You fail? You know, there's some task or goal that you need, and you need to have some really awesome tech person to write a program, or, you know, maybe design a website, and you're not very good at that. Now, what do? Well, it's often great to ask for help, because a good leader knows when to ask for help. It is their responsibility and accountability, but to achieve their goal, if they don't know or not good enough for a specific part of that, then a good leader will know, okay, I'm responsible. Yeah, I'm accountable. But if I don't know how to do it, well, then maybe I'll get someone in the group that can help me with that specific thing. It's really important. And we'll talk about a bit more about that later. But all right, let's continue. So qualities of a good leader. Let's talk about, well, being charismatic. Now, charismatic is an awesome word. I like it. So it's just fun to say charismatic. But a charismatic personality equals charming character, an appeal, some kind of magnetism, some kind of pull or draw, something that makes the followers want to all surround the leader, to be the one that connects all the other people, like a giant magnet, right? So what is that charm? What is that appeal? What is that magnetism? Well, a good leader must be likable. They got to be respected. They got to have some pleasing personality. They don't go around annoying everyone. They're not sloppy and careless, and they're someone everyone else wants to be, right? There's someone else that person that everyone else kind of goes, wow, you know, they got it sorted. Everyone wants to be near that person. Everyone wants to be around that person because that person's achieving and setting goals and getting there. And that's an appeal. That's a magnetism, right? It's a pulling of forces, that energy. And that leader that will have that energy will pull all the other people around them, that team, because that team feels that energy and wants to be near it. That's charismatic. People want to imitate that leader. They want to be charismatic too. They want to be able to connect with that many people too. So people will imitate, will copy, which is good if you're a good charismatic leader, but not so good if you're not. Creates a lot of not so good imitations. Napoleon, well, this is a leader is a dealer in hope. Leader is a dealer in hope. I love that. The ability to make the group hope for the best outcome and how to get there. It destroys so much negativity, so many bit things that could be going wrong. But as long as there are hope, there is a way. Yeah, where there's a will, there's a way. Where there's hope, where there's a dream, there will be a way. And he won many, many wars. I mean, going back in history, remember your history classes, right? Napoleon won a lot of wars and building a large empire that ruled over continents, Europe and so forth. And of course, he was regarded as one of the greatest military commanders of all time throughout history. Pretty impressive leader, right? Winston Churchill, good old Brit. Success is all about going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm, without giving up, without losing the energy. And of course, Winston, well, he was widely considered one of the 20th century's most significant figures. He played an important part in defending Europe's liberal democracy from the spread of fascism and Nazis, the whole Hitler thing, right? That was a bad time. And Winston Churchill stood up and was a part of that war. And one of the reasons why history is the way it is today. And we don't have, well, yeah, let's leave it there, shall we? I think you know what I mean. All right, so now Gandhi. Now, from your history books, I hope you guys know who Gandhi is. He's one of the world's awesomest figures and leaders in peace and harmony and creating this spread of love and positive energy. Is a quote here: "You must be the change you wish to see in the world." You know, that's him saying, "Hey, you got to do it yourself first. You got to prove, walk the walk, talk the talk before anyone else will follow you." Right. All right, next, Nelson Mandela. Okay, real leaders must be ready to sacrifice all for freedom of their people. And he did. He literally sat in jail for a long time for his people. Now, of course, Nelson Mandela was a revolutionary. He was a political leader in South Africa. And at the end of the day, he was the country's first Black head of state and the first elected in a fully representative Democrat election. So that meant he was the first pretty much president of his country, of South Africa that was actually elected by the people, was voted in, not just by a group of minorities that were maybe running the place, but actually voted in by the people. That's true power. That's a huge, huge thing, right? That shows that he was really loved. He was really cared about. There was a lot of people that wanted him to be in power because they think he could do it. This last one is, well, funny enough, we were talking about, you know, Winston Churchill just a second ago. Well, look at the bottom of the list here. Charismatic personality. Now, I suspect you wouldn't probably think of Adolf Hitler as your first choice of a charismatic personality to be charming and have an appeal, some kind of magnetism. But you understand, he did. He had to, for him to do what he did, to have that many people following down such a dark, horrible road, right? And there's a quote, "If you win, you need not have to explain. As long as we win, I don't care. You don't have to explain how we got there. Doesn't matter how many people we killed. Doesn't matter what we did. Doesn't matter. No, no, no. That doesn't matter. As long as we win. Oh, thank goodness history proved that one. Right? And obviously, you know, Hitler was, well, the German politician and leader of the Nazi Party. Without going into a whole history lesson on this, he intended to take over the world. I mean, it literally initiated World War II in Europe by invading Poland on the 1st of September, 1939. And it literally changed the course of everything from that point on. It was, well, insane, right? And at the end of the day, the point I'm trying to make is even someone, and I mentioned I don't want to talk about bad leaders too much, but I think it was an important to understand that even a really bad leader like Adolf Hitler had some really good qualities of a leader that allowed him to become a leader, even though his goals and mission was incredibly horrible, incredibly, insanely horrible. I'm going to leave that one there, but I hope you got the point. Okay. So next on our qualities of a good leader list, what would you think? Well, to become a master of your skill, to have mastery, mastery equals skill. And not just like jack of all trades, it means to be really good at the things you do. And successful leaders require a mastery of so many different types of particulars to get to that position. Right, you can't just be a good talker. You have to be a good listener too. You have to, you know, not just be a average doer. You have to be all in. It's about mastering everything you set out to do. Not just be okay or average, but to completely blow it out of the water. So no intelligent human being would ever wish to follow someone who hasn't mastered the knowledge required to complete his role or position. I mean, do you want a president who doesn't know what politics are or how to do maths? Would you have a tutor that was teaching you how to do something if you knew the tutor had never actually finished first grade? Right? No, would you get some coach who was eating hamburgers and obese to help you with getting fit? No way. If they haven't mastered this skill, how do you think, how do the followers ever think they're going to help achieve that goal if they couldn't even get them to themselves, right? So developing mastery, well, first you start out as a beginner, then you kind of go into intermediates, right, levels, and well, of course, you then become a novice. And then you become competent, you know, you're pretty good at this, all right. Yeah? But then you get kind of some deep experience. You kind of really get to, you know, do it over and over again, at which point you become an expert. But an expert isn't quite a master of a skill, because that's the final step. Once you finish becoming an expert, you can then consider yourself a master of a skill. And it's why in martial arts, it's very similar grading system. You start out with your white belt as a beginner, and you have like fifth dan masters, you know, and then you have black belts that are kind of experts, but they're not masters. And, you know, the brown belts have deep experience, and you know, the kind of, you know, brown, and, you know, and under that you have the blues and the greens, and of course the yellows down here. These are all much like a belt system in most forms of martial arts. But to attain master, that's a lifetime in some cases. But you can also master other skills in weeks, but it's how much time, energy, and effort you put into it. And that all is then shown and proven to your team and to your group of people that are following you, and that will equal a good leader. You won't be a good leader if you haven't mastered the skills you require to get there. Not a chance. So the next one, be decisive, prudence, make a decision. Don't just go, What do you think? I don't know. I can't decide. Because right or wrong, if you've got to make a decision. And at the end, the road of life is paved with lots of flat squirrels who couldn't make a decision, right? I'm sorry, just think about that for a second. I'll say it again. Be decisive. Right or wrong, make a decision, because the road of life is paved with flat squirrels. Yeah, they didn't make a decision. They didn't get off the road, left or right. All they had to do was make a decision when they saw the car coming. But no, they just stood there and splat. Don't be a squirrel. Make a decision. So, prudency, and to be prudent and decisive. This means that you are able to make choices, but not just any choice, just go flip a coin, but you actually make a wise choice, an educated guess, an understanding of what the problem is, and know how to get to the solution. And you make the right choices along the way, the right path. A good leader will make wise decisions quickly and assuredly, and standing firm on their morals and beliefs. They don't waver. They don't, just because, oh, things are happening fast, that, we're going to take some shortcuts and maybe tell a few porcupines, or, kind of maybe bend the rules a little bit. No. They're decisive, they're prudent, they get it done, but they don't sacrifice the little things either. And well, a good leader is a good planner, and they have, very practical, definitive plans. They have a map, they have a GPS system. Often it's a business plan. That's what it's called. They have exactly an understanding of where the team needs to go and how to get there. And the leader, well, never moves on guess, on a presumption, on some speculation. No, the plan is done before the work, and then the work to the plan. It's not guess. It's not a let's just see, hold on. Heads we go right, tails we go left. Yeah, today. What would you want that as a leader? No way. Today we're going left because I'm right. That's where we need to go. And I'll explain why I'm right. This is the facts. This is the data. This is how I see it. And this is why I know this is where we need to go. I'm not guessing. I'm not presuming. I'm not. No. This is all the leader's job, right? To be decisive. Huh. Okay. Any questions? Now, of course, if you're decisive and you make the right decisions, or even if you make the wrong decisions, and like I said, we're going to talk about making wrong decisions and failure in a minute. But at the end of the day, as long as you make a decision, you are controlling the future. You are controlling your life. You're controlling the outcome of the team. You are in control. One way or another, right or wrong, you're in control. The second you stop making decisions, you are no longer in control. You have let someone else take control, or you are have let life, let the world that be, take control. And of course, you can't control everything. No, that's not the expectation. But by making decisions, you remain in control. Okay? So make the right decisions and do it decisively. Don't guess yourself either, but don't double guess yourself. All right. Next one. Needs to exceed. Now, this is a really strong leadership trait. I find personally quite interesting, because for me, when I learn something, I have to really learn it. I go down what I call a rabbit hole. I go down these little tunnels until I find the conclusion or the excellence that I expect for myself when I learn something. Because you know what? There are different types of success. There are different levels of achievement. You could say, there's excellence, there's very good, there's average, there's poor, there's really bad. But at the end of the day, I don't care about these first four. I really only care about the top one, excellence. Because if you're going to do it right. If you're going to bother, why bother if you're not going to go all the way? If you're going to, run a marathon, why run the, run just 20 miles? Why don't you finish it? If you're going to, travel the world, why only go to 80% of the countries? It's all about going the extra mile, exceeding everyone else's expectations, going above and beyond what people expect from you. You know, when a teacher offers to an assignment, and you go, hey, if you do the assignment, you can get X amount of points, but there's an extra credit question, and if you do the extra credit question, it can push you over the kind of the 100% mark, or it can get you above and beyond everyone else. And the extra credit, extra, it's always they're always much harder work. They're always more detailed and elaborate. And 99% of the students won't even bother for the extra credit because it's extra hard work, and it's why bother? I'm going to get a good enough grade, or I can't be bothered to do the work to begin with. So what's the point? But at the end of the day, there will be that 1%, and they are the leaders of the world that will go, no, I am going to do the extra credit. I want those extra points. I want to see where that takes me. I want to see how good that makes me. And in fact, by doing it, it makes you instantly better than everyone else because, well, you went the extra mile. You went down the harder road that most people won't travel. Because people are like water, right? Water running down a mountain. Water travels in the easiest, most direct route down the mountain, always following the ravine, the valley, right? But the leaders, they climb. They work harder than the water. They don't just flow. They choose to go the harder way, up the mountain, over the mountain, around it, and not flow down it. That's very much what it means to do the extra mile, to go and do the hard stuff. So setting an example is what leaders do, right? And this means by doing more than what's expected. Because they expect their team to imitate that, to show, hey, if I can put in the extra effort, you all can too. Because, well, leaders task themselves. No one's telling a leader what to do, what to achieve, how much to achieve, when or why. They're the top of the totem pole. There's a reason for that. Because they're self-motivated, because they push themselves. They don't need a leader above them to push them. They can do it perfectly by themselves. Where probably a lot of the team can't. Most of the team wants to be water. Well, the leader is the cup that holds the water and carries them around. The leader is the one that shows them what the extra mile is and why we need to go there. Because when you go that extra mile, you get ahead of everyone else. You're instantly better and smarter than everyone else. You're more powerful than everyone else. Your team is bigger and better, will win and succeed better because it went the extra mile. It chose to do the hard work, and by doing that, got stronger, better, and the followers of that team and that leader will see it and hopefully imitate it and copy it, right? So, well, we've come to towards the end of today's lesson, and so well, so it's I love these 10 steps to become a leader. Now, always be honest right there again. See it on top of the list, and that wasn't even my list. That was one that I've got out of a research page. But you understand this is quite a common sentiment that honesty being the number one policy as a quality for a leader. Number two, delegate and prioritize. Make sure that your followers know what things are most important and who's in charge of it and what will happen if it does or doesn't get done. Right? Delegate. Prioritize it. 1 to 10, 1 to 3, whatever is the most important, least important, best and worst, right? And communicate, not just communicate a bit, not just communicate well, but can communicate constantly well. Continuously feedback, feedback, feedback. Always, this is how we're going to do it. This is what we're doing. This is how we did it. This is how we can improve. This is what we're going to do next time. Communication. And we have so many ways to communicate in our day of technology. Emails, phones, Zoom, internet. I can rattle those on all day. But at the end of the day, it's about that person communicating with the other people. If no one knows what they're doing or how to do it, how is the team ever going to succeed? They won't. And it's all because the leader never communicated properly. In fact, it's probably one of the biggest reasons why a lot of businesses fail is lack of communication amongst the staff and the employees. It's probably one of the biggest reasons why a lot of leaders fail in many things, being a coach or, for a team or, you want your sergeant in the army that, if you're at war, you want them to communicate with you constantly and consistently, right? You want to know where the bombs are. You want to know when to turn left and how and when. It's important. Your life is on the line, right? Number four, well, we didn't talk about this one too much today, and well, there might be a reason for that, but have confidence in yourself. I'm going to leave that right there because I want to have some more fun with that later. Number five, commit yourself. Really all or nothing. Do it or don't. But if you're going to do it right. Do it 100%. Do it the best you possibly can. Commit. No halfway. No 45, no 65, no 95, no 90. I want 100% from my team. And they expect 110% from me because I do the extra credit. I go the extra mile and they'll know I will every time. Lead with positivity. A negative leader will destroy everything. Positiveness attracts positiveness. It's like a magnet. It's like a wave. When two positive waves get together, what happens? A tsunami of awesomeness. Two negative waves get together, it swallows things up. That's how it is. If you're positive, you attract positive things. Positive team members, positive goals, they're all positive, will attract more. It's insane how it works. But it does, trust me. I'm one of the most positive thinkers you'll ever meet. And I really can find almost the positive in every situation, be it even the bad ones. I will always come and find a way of finding a way that I always aim to find a way of seeing the positive in even my most hardest, dreaded, darkest days. And often it'll be going, hey, that was really messed up and dark and horrible, but you know what? The thing I learned from it, the positive that came out of it, would have been this. And I take that with me. It's important. And your team will see it. Thinking creatively, outside the box, kind of really enjoying that. I love creative thinking. It's why I have a circus company and I make costumes and shows and all these fun things. As a business, it's, different marketing strategies and ideas, new products, new services, all these things. Think creatively. Try and come up with something maybe someone else hasn't thought of or has thought of so well, how you could make better. Here's a good one. Follow your intuition. Follow your guts. You'll be surprised how often that gut feeling, that intuition's right. Number nine, aim to aspire. Oh, I like this one. When you aim to be the best to make an impact on other people's lives, and you do, it will inspire more change in them. And by making something good happen today, that person that you inspire or something good happens to them, they might pass that on. It's called the butterfly effect. When there's a butterfly beats its wings on one side of the world, and that the beating of the wings of that butterfly, just that tiny movement of their wings creates a tornado or storm on the other side of the world. It's that effect, how one small little action, like inspiring someone, can change everything. You just never know what one thing is that will do it, which is why you got to do it so often and all the time, right? And a leader tailors their approach. They're really, well, they're versatile. They can really kind of change things up. If this problem requires this, they can do that. If this person needs that, they can do that. They're like chameleons. They can change and adapt. And there's a few more there, but so that's the end of today's class. I hope you enjoyed it, but of course we've got a little bit of homework, and well, I want you to just enjoy. There's no wrong answers to a lot of these questions. I want to know what you think. I want you to explain what does it mean to have a sense of justice to you. Put in your own words what it means. I want to know what do you think, what it means to have a sense of justice in you. What does it mean to be charismatic? I gave you a definition or an idea, but what does it mean for you to be charismatic? Well, what are the things that you could do to become more charismatic that you need to work on, or maybe you have and you're very proud of? Why is mastery necessary for leaders? Does a leader need to master things? Let me know. How could a good leader show sympathy, empathy, and understanding? What is a good leader? How could they do this? Think of an example that would be the answer to that question. What quality would you try to improve in yourself if you decided you wanted a leadership position? So of the qualities that we've kind of, or maybe it's not even the one we've gone through yet, but think of a quality that you think, you know, you'd be really happy to improve that one specific thing. It's maybe your weakness as a leader. What would be your biggest weakness you'd want to improve? That's a good way of putting it. Which of these qualities that we talked about are the most important and why? Let me know. I want to know which one's the most important one to you and why. I let you know, trustworthy, honesty, you know, that for me is the number one. But that's an opinion. A lot of people can argue otherwise. I'd like to hear your arguments if you don't think that is your number one. Maybe you think of another quality that's not even on today's list, and I want to know what that is. Maybe that's more important. There is no wrong answer. Trust me. And well, like I mentioned, number eight, if I think honesty is the number one quality of a leader, now that's my personal opinion, as I've mentioned more than once. Well, can you guess what the second most important quality is on the list, in my opinion? Now, I purposely left it out of the lesson today. We didn't go into any detail. In fact, I think I might have mentioned it once or twice in passing in some of the other slides, but I didn't bring it up as a total subject in itself. And there's a reason for that, because I want to do that all in the next class and give it the justice that it deserves and the time that it requires. So can you guess what my number two quality of being a leader is? You can't get a wrong answer on that one, but you can get an extra right answer if you get it right? So I look forward to seeing what you come up with. But you know what, today's lesson, I'm going to leave you with just a very small little video of some really amazing quotes by some of the best leaders in history, in the world that we've ever had. And these quotes are designed to be little lessons in themselves, in a very small couple of sentences. Each one of them is a tiny little lesson that if you were to pause and read it two or three times and actually take it in, each one of these quotes has something extremely valuable to teach you. And it's just a little extra I wanted to throw on the end of today's class, because it kind of goes to show some of our history's best and biggest leaders and how they were thinking and some of these lessons they wanted to pass on. And I'll have a look. I want to know which is your favorite, by the way. Not a homework, assignment. Just let me know. What was your favorite quote? All right, here we go. Until next week, take care. Bye-bye. Beautiful quote. I love it. That's an amazing one. I live by that. If you can dream it, you can do it. One step at a time. You're in control. Don't forget. What a Man. I mean, they're all amazing. I'm a scientist. I have a particular favorite. I can't gotta say. Mahatma Gandhi. We must become the change we want to see in the world. Remember that one. We're gonna do a lot more of that one later. What else is there? Do your best, don't bother. I hope you enjoyed that. I look forward to hearing which was your favorite. And like I said, until next week, take care, guys. Have a great day. Bye.